Welcome, BBS. This is a Simulcast call, Winfrey's Monday night conference call. We welcome you all in. We just had some more people come in on the phone line. If you want, please state your name and location.
Hi, Morgan in California.
Hi, Morgan. This is Ron.
Hi, Ron. How you doing?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
Hanging in there. We had a day of standing in water here in the kitchen and the bathroom because our pipes broke.
Oh, that's no fun. Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
That one that happened.
This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Marilyn. Good to hear
you. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi. Hi, everybody.
Hello. Oh.
Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, this is Terry in Sedona.
Well, hi, Terry. Good to hear you.
Hey, Terry.
Thank you. Hey.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Hi, Terry.
Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
Terry, did Wynn send out an email yet?
No, I think he's sending it out right now because his computer wasn't working and he came and got mine.
Okay.
Yeah.
I had some people come in. Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
Good evening. It's Eric in Santa Fe.
Hello, Eric. Good to hear you.
You too.
Hi, Eric.
Hi there.
Good evening. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hello. This is Robert from North Carolina.
Hey, Robert. Good to hear you.
Hello. Thanks.
Good Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, it's Jody in St. Louis.
Hey, Jody. Good to hear you.
Hey, Tony.
Hi, Aaron.
Hi, Tony.
Hi, Marilyn.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, Ron. It's Marilyn in Oxford, Michigan.
Hey, Marilyn.
How are you doing?
I think you're pretty good. I think you're Marilyn number two tonight.
Oh, okay. Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
This is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, Don.
Hi, everybody. Hello.
Had another caller come in. Please state your name and location.
Hi, it's Wynn in Sedona, Arizona.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi, Wynn.
Hey, Wynn.
Hello.
Hello, Wynn.
Anybody here Coast to Coast Saturday, Daniel Sheehan?
Who was it?
Daniel Sheehan. Apparently an attorney.
Yeah, I know who he is.
Yeah, did you hear that at all? It's pretty interesting. History, about the secret history between the U.S. and the Middle East.
Wow.
Welcome to the Monday night call. Please state your name and location.
That is Chris in Memphis.
Hey, Chris. Good to hear you.
Hey.
Hi, Chris.
Good to hear you.
Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Chris.
Hello.
He works with David Wilcock, doesn't he?
What was that?
At Dan Sheehan.
What did you say? I didn't hear what you said.
He works with David Wilcock, or David Wilcox works with him?
Wilcock? I do not know.
Had some more callers come in. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, it's Dharmananda in Boulder Creek.
Hey, Dharmananda. Good to hear you.
I didn't get an email.
He was trying to send it out. He's still trying to send it out. His computer wasn't working, so he came and got mine.
Oh.
We come anyways.
That's great.
Add some more callers. Come in. Please state your name and location.
Yeah, Rick, Iowa City.
Hey, Rick. Good to hear you.
Yeah.
Hi, Rick.
Thank you.
Hi.
Hi.
Rick.
Hi. Welcome to the Monday Night Call. Please state your name and location.
It's Terry in Boulder City, Nevada.
Hey, Terry. Good to hear you.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hello, hello. Hey, everybody.
Hi.
Today's my wife's birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, wife.
Yeah, happy birthday, wife.
Happy birthday, wife.
Yeah.
What's your name? Put her on and we'll sing to her.
At this restaurant.
I don't think she likes that.
Yeah, we can sing that.
You ain't been sang to since till you've been sang by us, huh?
Yeah.
My birthday is on Wednesday.
Oh, you're pulling our leg now.
Huh?
You're pulling our leg. Are you serious?
No, I'm not kidding. Part.
Well, we can sing to you then.
Happy birthday.
Did you want Alice's restaurant?
Alice's restaurant?
Yeah, did you want us to sing Alice's restaurant?
No. Well, the thing come out.
It was a joke.
Welcome to the Monday Night Conference Call. Please state your name and location.
It's Carola in Okotoks, Alberta.
Hello.
Hey, Carola. Good to hear you. This is Ron in Mountain Grove.
Hi, Ron. How's it going?
Pretty good.
Good.
It's snow up there yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, are you kidding? I bet you have a lot, don't you, Carola?
Dharmananda, how's your friend?
Somebody playing the guitar?
Is that Aaron?
It's a Beatles tune. Today is your birthday, Beatles tune.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then happy birthday to you at the end, right? Yeah.
I get to mail that check to the Beatles now.
BMI check.
Yeah.
Never bought the rights.
Didn't Happy Birthday song just become public? Payne recently?
Did it?
Yeah.
Oh, I heard that.
I think so.
We were supposed to be paying those sisters. Somebody
who's got the console?
Me, guessing nobody ever paid ever.
Here we go. Here we
Who
go.
Is that? Hi, Wynn.
Who's that?
Hey, Bonnie.
Bonnie, I just know.
Hello.
Okay. That's Chris. You notice Chris has very distinctive
moan.
Lots of them, too.
A distinctive moan.
Yeah, he's groaning a lot.
Yes, he is.
He must have had a bad day.
Did you say he's growing a lot or he's groaning a lot?
Yeah, see, he's...
I stopped growing when I was 10.
Okay, hang on a second. I'll unmute you guys in just a second. Yeah.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
This is November 30th, 2015. Lynn and Terry in Sedona and everyone everywhere. And I was trying to put this out tonight in an email, and I didn't get it out, but I'm going to do an open mic tonight. And, you know, while we were just hanging out just now, prior, you know, on the pre-call, what would you call it? Kibitz session? Right? Hang on a second. Let me get the number for BBS. So if anyone's listening on the air and wants to phone in, they can. But there's some aspects to what I was thinking, how it feels. How it feels to be spiritual, because you get the call. And it feels like suddenly I got a bunch of people in living in the same house together, at least when they come into the call. And they've all become confident enough. You know, I think as I've observed people, one of the things that really screws people up in their relationships is that they want to project themselves in a certain way so that people see them. In a certain way. And they get very, very contracted or rigid into making that projection. And of course, there's a legitimate reason for doing that. Not to say one shouldn't do that, because in most cases, people judge you for your weaknesses. Okay? Except for Chris's mother. Chris's mother doesn't judge him. And but most people do. They judge you for your weaknesses. They judge you for your insufficiencies. They judge you for your lack of money. They judge you for God knows what. So we learn to contain ourselves and walk through the world. Let me take those things off. So that nobody judges us. And because nobody likes to be judged. And then they talk about you behind your back. And they say, oh, did you see Wynn today? He wasn't looking good. Or when was this and when was that? Or so-and-so was this and so-and-so was that. And so the world kind of locks itself in. It locks itself in, and it holds a rigidity to it. It's very hard to break out of. And I think all of you know that, but that's true, because we've all felt locked in. And so what's happened is we've created this ambience. Is ambience the right word? I don't know. Ambience is good enough. We created this ambience on our call where we can feel that we can reveal ourselves, because we've mastered, to a certain extent, the principle of non-judgment. So people can be who they are, and they're not going to get judged. Now, we might throw them off if they're really irritating. We might say, don't come back. We might mute them. That's not a judgment, though. Okay? That's just being responsible for creating clear space for things to happen. And I notice, and this is my observation, you know, there is a there is most definitely a group consciousness. Now, somebody who's listening is just coming in. They're probably not here because I didn't send out an email. But if they are, and they're just new, then I'm not orienting this call towards you. This is like kind of listening in, being a fly on the wall to a less dysfunctional family than most. Terry, are you there? Hello, Terry. Hello, Terry. Uh-oh. Okay, I'm still here. Terry's not here. I see her. Terry, it looks like you're on the line, but I don't see you. All right, let me just go on. So, I think that...
I'm here. I was muted.
Oh, my God. How come they don't teach you how to unmute your phone faster?
Well, I have to take it with me when I walk around.
I see.
Otherwise, I have to go get it.
So, I mean, you know, it's kind of like all in the family, you know, because whatever comes up, we flow with it, we flow around it. Jim's living here, we're flowing with it. Jim was Raymond, we're flowing with it. Jim, I mean, Jim, are you listening? Jim's out of the call. You know, it's like, you know, I look at Jim and I can see, I didn't seem to me wasn't taking full advantage of what he could be learning from this. But he did what he did. And, you know, free will means that you choose, you don't judge people, but you choose, you can choose your circumstances. Everyone is here today because they free willingly chose to do it. Day to day, we have, free will doesn't mean you can do anything you want to do when you want to do it. It doesn't mean that. Obviously, that's not true. But within a certain framework, you can keep making choices. And if you keep making the right choices, you evolve, you change, you grow. And if you make, I'm using the word right and wrong choice. Not even the right word. It's not even correct to say it's not the right word because I'm judging it. You could say all choices are fine because if you pay attention, you learn from your choices. And you learn if you watch the impact of where a certain choice goes, the next time it comes up, you make a different choice and a different choice. So you keep refining your ability to make choices and who you want to be with and who are your friends and what should I do with my time. I think that is the most phenomenal choice all of us have. Let me turn on the tube and watch TV, you know, as a choice, right? Well, obviously, you're infecting your mind when you do that. So there is a refinement of your choices all the time. And there's a refinement of your wisdom all the time. Because as you make better choices, it's because you're getting wiser. Because you observed the impact of your lesser choices. And it's like, if you don't make choices, if you just stay depressed and don't do anything, then nothing will happen. You'll just keep going on as you were. And so, and I was going to have an open mic tonight. So I'm not going to talk the whole night about this. One of the things that just seems that I observed it on yesterday's call in particular, and I observed how this energy that we have been sharing on our Sunday calls in particular, but on all the calls to some extent, but the Sunday calls in particular, seems to be getting stronger. And it doesn't have to do with me. It seems like, to me, people are internalizing the energy and that they're actually learning to a greater extent to hold some of that energy into their 24/7 life, and that the cohesiveness of the energy was really amazing yesterday. And I mean, I started out myself and I said, maybe this is going to be the Sunday I waited for when the energy doesn't hit. Because I didn't hit the ground running. I'm sure, you know, Terry might think, this is going to be the Sunday that they don't have anything to say to anybody. Say, Where are they? Hello? Nobody answers. You see, we don't control it. If you follow what I'm saying, it looks like we control it, but we don't. I don't know how to control it. I don't have a clue how to do what we're doing. I just keep learning that if I keep showing up and I keep letting go, no matter how I feel just before, if I do it, we get into a flow. And then Sunday, we really got into a great flow. And at the beginning, I was just stumbling around. Now, you know, if I was worried what people were thinking about me, if I was, I mean, I probably worry slightly, but not much. But if it was a really prime concern, when I was stumbling around at the beginning of the call, I would have said, there's things I can always do to be entertaining. You guys heard this joke? Let me play you some of my songs. You know, I can do things like that. And it's okay to do that, because usually even if I do that, we get into a flow. And I can distract the energy from saying, God, I'm not totally focused right now. But you know what? I let myself be a little bit unfocused, and I went into it. And then before I knew it, it didn't take more than 5 minutes that I was right in the middle of this really great energy. Even now, I can feel it coming in just as I'm talking. And, you know, this is an example to you guys about how spirit comes in, how the higher sources come in. It's like when you let go of worrying about what people think. And because you can't do this with everyone. You can't. But I find more and more that if I jump in to the moment, and people don't know me. They're not on our calls. I just, anywhere, and I just start blabbing, and I say things off the wall. Before you know it, they're right on course with me. I'm not trying to impress them. I'm not trying to be smart. I mean, an hour ago, I called AAA because I had to renew my insurance. And by the time I was off the phone, the woman I was talking to, what did you say? Edgar Casey. And you wrote a book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey. And and you can get your free... I mean, she's going to go check out all of our stuff. And what did I say? You know what I told her? I thought she was really a very caring person. And I said, I'll bet you're spiritual, okay? And I didn't know how she was spiritual. And then she said, I'm a Christian. And I said, I could tell. And you know what? She was totally interested. Everything I said was the truth, of course. I could tell she had a loving higher intent than a lot of other people, okay? To feel the energy. And, you know, truthfully, everybody's a Christian. Did you know that? Everyone's a Christian. Jesus said it. He said, how did he say it now? He said, I am in I'm in the smallest of these, right? And that's the Christ consciousness. You know, when you relate to somebody like that, out of that place in yourself, almost automatically they move into it and they respond from that place. But it takes a certain vulnerability, because when you're thinking about whether they like you or whether they're going to approve of you, geez, you know, asking them in the middle, you know what, are you spiritual? And, you know, they might say, are you nuts? Well, I'm an atheist. Oh, good. I'm glad I found the loving atheist. You know, whatever they say, say something back and move around it. It doesn't matter. Don't worry if they approve of what you did. More often than not, they will. But it's okay if they don't. And it's like getting into that loose space. And you have to practice this. You don't jump into this, because you could really stick your foot in your mouth. And all of us that are doing this probably have stuck our foot in our mouth many lifetimes and got our heads cut off, and God knows what. But, you know, after a while, you get a little smarter about the whole thing. And, you know, one thing I have learned, and this is a really, really good thing to understand. You can make somebody laugh. It's hard for them to not like you. Okay? I mean, that's a gift to somebody, to make them laugh or to make them smile. And if you're going to give them a bunch of stuff that that is controversial, or that is, you know, challenges belief systems, make them laugh. Because if you make them laugh, they will be much more open to everything else. And it's like when you get into that space with someone, you would be amazed at how much they will do stuff to, how can I say, to appease you or to, you know, make things different. But this is easier said than done, because people push your buttons. And when they push your buttons, it's so easy to be funny and make them laugh. They're irritating the hell out of you, okay? And so you can just keep, this is where paying attention, taking small steps and experimenting works. And, you know, earlier in the call, Daniel Sheehan, who was it? Dharmananda. So Dharmananda was talking about Daniel Sheehan. Now, you know, I remember Daniel Sheehan from way back. You know, I was in Berkeley who was that woman? Hearst. Patty Hearst was abducted by the Black Panthers, I believe. And I think Daniel Sheehan was her lawyer, okay? Now, one of the things about Daniel Sheehan, I heard his name all the time, and I thought he was okay, you know? And I was at the, I can't remember, it was a big annual expo in San Francisco. And I was at that expo, and I saw Daniel Sheehan, and I actually thought that he was somebody that I wanted to get to know. I mean, he had some kind of spiritual background, and but I said hello to him, and he looked like a celebrity, and he had not even the time for a smile for me. And then I looked him up, and I, you know, people that are really articulate and very good in the public eye, you have to really look deeply on, all right? And it's very interesting to go on the internet and look up their name and look up the word disinfo, look up the word disinfo, New World Order, and see what comes up and read it and see if any of it holds truth. Okay? Because one of the things that the government does, and this is done so well that it's very hard to penetrate it, okay? It's very hard. But from what it seems to me, actually, I know this is true, and many of you do as well, so I'm not going to say it as it's speculative, that we are being programmed big time. We are being programmed, sometimes it's called social engineering. It's deliberate. It's so huge. You're so much at the effect of it, you can't see it, okay? Unless somebody starts to point it out to you, microscopically, you start looking and you see it, you know? Like, look at how, for many people who have looked at this, it's quite evident that 911 had a lot more to it than the way it looked. And there was no way the official story could hold water, just as there was no way the official story of the Kennedy assassination could hold water. There is much more to it. Now, when you look for the much more, you have to look at what's intelligent out there, okay, that is giving what's more. And when you're looking at for what's intelligent, you'll find things that don't seem so intelligent that are there. And they're on the same topic. They're trying to give more information. Do they look like idiots or wild men? Then you go a little further and you find some of the idiots and wild men are actually, how would you say it, not trustworthy. That they work for somebody, but they come in to look like they're on the side of the conspiracy theorists, and then they start discrediting other people, and it becomes a giant circus, and it's hard to pick what's real out of it. So, for example, is Daniel Sheehan really legitimately a man who cares for the people, and is he legitimately operating out of a sense of consciousness, Christ consciousness, or is he something else, right? And I remember I started looking it up, and I really didn't come to a conclusion. But I did see, if I kept looking for it, if it was important enough, I would have come to a conclusion. Because there was, I mean, I'm just looking it up while we're talking about it. Let's see if I can find some sentence there. In the 1970s, attorney Daniel Sheehan achieved fame when he helped win a lawsuit in the then-notorious Karen Silkwood case. He later formed the Christic Institute to expose American covert operatives who were up to the various shadowy enterprises in Central America. many within the Christics Institute knew that she had a longstanding and more or less quiet interest in UFOs. In this interview from 5 years ago, he revealed the incident which prompted that interest. Back in 1996, Sheehan was the general consul to the Jesuit National Headquarters in Washington, D.C. Uh-oh, Jesuits. Now look up Jesuits in New World Order, and you'll find that there's a lot of things all over the Internet indicating that it's one of the most controlling, corrupting, powerful religions out there. Now, maybe it's not true, but it's like, I'm not that political to talk about making the case on this. I just know. Huge amount of stuff. Through his church, he happened to meet Rosemary Chalk, the secretary of the National Academy of Science in Washington, D.C. Uh-oh, National Academy of Science in Washington, D.C. Almost everything that sounds like that is like the National Press Corps, like the funding for a new America. Try looking up Greenpeace, New World Order. It's like there's so many organizations that you really have to study it to figure out which ones are really sincere and passionate about what they're doing and which ones are stooges for the negative. And at a certain point, who cares? I mean, I'm just like, why pay attention to them? The problem is everybody else is paying attention to them. Let's see. When Sheehan mentioned he wanted to be an astronaut, Chalk arranged an introduction to Marcia Smith, director of Science and Technology Division of the Library of Congress. And why was the Library of Congress involved with such things? Before becoming president in 76, Jimmy Carter had been governor of Georgia, and while governor, he had seen a UFO. He found a report of the incident. Becoming president, Carter went to see the director of the CIA, George Bush, and asked about UFOs. He was told by Bush that he didn't need to know, and we get nothing from the agency, but suggested that he approach the Congressional Research Service. That briefing was the job of Marshall Smith, who asked Sheehan to get access to the Vatican files on UFOs. The Vatican refused. Sheehan then asked to see some of the classified material that Uncle Sam had, and here's how he tells what he occurred. And let me not keep going here. In any case, you know, the other thing was when you're evaluating people, oftentimes they are unconsciously, inadvertently under the control of a negative influence. And they're not negative at all, but they get involved in something they believe in. And it's like, the negative knows this. They know how to work it, okay? It's like there's a huge amount of indication that at the top level of the Masons, there's a lot of very dark energy. You go look that up yourself, 33-degree initiation. And yet, the Masons, make themselves look extremely attractive. Like, let's come over to, they take advantage of people's needs for camaraderie, of service. They give money to hospitals. They do all kinds of charitable work. They have a dinner every Friday night for people, bring friends over. And it's like that story of when the guy died and they went on the elevator and St. Peter is the elevator. And he opens the door, he opens it to hell, and there's all these people having parties and having fun. And then he says, he goes up and he opens the door to heaven, and there's all these people playing harps and being very ethereal. And the guy says, Hey, that hell doesn't look like such a bad place. Why don't you let me off there? And so they go downstairs, and St. Peter kicks them into the previous room, except now there's no parties, or there's no fun, or there's no sexy women. It's all fiery and, you know, how you would normally think of the traditional view of hell. And as the guy is being kicked out the door into this terrible place, he looks back at St. Peter and says, "What happened?" And he said, "That was the PR committee." Okay. And the elevator slams behind him. Okay. So, how did I tie that? I was trying to tie that with something I was saying here. That so many, I know what it was. It was like how people make things look really good and draw you in, and before you know it, you're on a treadmill because you have to get from this initiation to that initiation, and your desire to connect with what you consider higher ups, people higher up in the chain that keeps you on the treadmill to keep moving in that direction. And then, before you know it, something happens, and you can't, it's very hard to go backwards in those kinds of organizations. Very hard. You can risk your life if you try to go backwards. So now you're stuck. You can risk your family's life if you try to go backwards. And, but you don't know that until it's too late. That's the problem. That's why you have to look at everything and realize how huge the charade is in this realm, how huge the projections are, how the media is being controlled, how television is being controlled, how the news is being controlled. And, you know, the one thing that there is some level of liberation on is the internet. And it's like you take anything and look it up and put disinfo on it or put New World Order and see what comes up and see if anything makes sense. You know, I am a child of the 60s, and I was very idealistic. I loved New Age. I loved the idea of everything is love. I love the idea of hippies and freedom and all of that stuff. I was the world's best hippie at that time, traveling around in my Volkswagen bus, playing music, saving the world. And then I go back now, and I can tell you that I am sure this is true, and you'll have to do your own research, but drugs were brought in as there was this agenda that started way before even that, but let's start there, to break down the family unit so that people were easy to control. Families can be strong fathers. They have strong reason to support the children. They want to make the world a better place. And the desire was to break down the family unit, and drugs were one of the ways to break down the family unit. LSD started with the CIA, and people that I thought were my heroes all ended up in the past 10 years, 12 years, breaking down, like Ken Kesey, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Loved that movie. He used to travel around the country doing his electric Kool-Aid acid test, and turns out the CIA was funding him to give acid to everybody. Why do you think acid was given away in all those Grateful Dead concerts for free, and that nobody was ever arrested? Because it was part of the plan. Why did the Beatles, you can look this one as a shocker, Rudy, if you're a fan of the Beatles, which I am, I love the Beatles. I love their sound, love their music. And the Beatles were developed by an English, a think tank to pick a really great, great, talented group of charismatic young men and make them world famous and then bring in drug lyrics and bring drugs to the world. I mentioned Walt Disney at other times where all of his old cartoons have all this sexual imagery in it. Just go look up Walt Disney sex on YouTube and you'll see it. If you were brought up on Walt Disney and you loved the innocence, the teeny innocence, it was like totally corrupted, and Walt Disney was a 33-degree Mason. And if you look at some of today's biggest pop stars, the decadent ones, like Britney Spears, like Christina Aguilar, like Miley Cyrus, at one point, they were all innocent, beautiful, charismatic women from the Walt Disney entertainment media machine. And they, Miley Cyrus had her TV show as Hannah Montana. And everybody, how could you not love Hannah Montana? And what a great plan. If you wanted to break everything down, what a great plan to take somebody like that, let her capture the hearts of every young person in the United States, and then turn her into the most deviant rock star in history. And what is it doing? It's pulling all those people who idolized her into the deviancy. And it's deliberate. It's not accidental. It's like the world has been programmed that way. Now, is it hopeless? I hope not. But you might as well look it in the eye and know what it is. And if you think God is going to descend from the sky, and all that's going to go away, I don't think it will. And the whole plot is so overwhelming. And I don't want to say any more than that about it. You do your own research, because it's like, if I get more famous, I probably won't talk about this. I didn't announce this call tonight, so maybe nobody's listening. But if anyone's listening, we asked about it, and if you guys continue being service to self, you're going to end up incarnating as rocks. It's like you're cut off from the flow of the universe. You're cut off from the central source. You're cutting yourself off. You're not cut off. You're cutting yourself off. And you can go around in cycles and circles in this realm, keeping trying to grab more and more energy and more and more energy and more and more energy, but there's not enough. And eventually, it may take a lot of lifetimes, it'll run down. And when it runs down, so do you. Okay, there's no more energy. So the difference between the negative and the positive is we all need energy. We all need energy. It's the most lovely thing to life, to be able to share energy with other people. We're sharing energy here. We share energy with the Elohim. We share energy with the Rocker. We share energy with each other. And when we share energy, it makes it joyful to be alive. But we're sharing it with total free will. Nobody has to show up here unless they want to. No one has to come back if they don't want to. Anyone that comes back, the door is always open. I don't have to do this. Terry doesn't have to do it. I can do other things. I'm not using this to make a lot of money. That keeps me clean. If, you know, as soon as you start making a lot of money at something, then it doesn't mean it has to be this way, but it's certainly very easy in this realm because money is such a commodity and it gives an illusion of a certain kind of freedom that when you make money, you just orient everything towards making money. And even when it looks like you're not, you are, okay? So it's one of the reasons we do so many things without worrying about money. I mean, I still have to worry about money. You know, that's why we're selling pendants. We're selling pendants because so many of you supported that. We're selling the ozone machine. This is a way to contribute something to you as well as raising money instead of always just saying, do you see the donation button today? I might do that very occasionally. And I usually do it for other people instead of us. I raise money for things. But like Terry Friedman or different times, you guys know. You've been on the calls, you know. I'd rather raise money for other people and work hard at, you know, the work I'm doing and then offering great products. And keeps us busy, though. It's not boring. We never run out of things to do. And Terry has exactly the same dispensation. And you see, this was going to be an open mic, and I blew it. Terry, are you there?
I'm here. Yeah. Maybe you should open up the mic and let everybody come in.
I'll open up the mic. I started off with you. Okay.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, Elohim, I have a love for each and every person and everybody on the calls and all the listeners. And they're very caring. Anyway, that's my contribution.
Did they tell you to tell us that?
Very often during the calls, they say stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just bloody amazing that we can open up a portal to people where they can actually feel that love coming in. And it's a miracle to watch it, okay? That it's, you know, it's really not me. It really is not me. I think you know it's not me. But, you know, sometimes people think it is. They want to meet me, and they think I'm holding that. And I just had this great quote from Christopher Walken. That was the quote. I make a better impression by not showing up. It's like, you know, people come to see us, and they want to meet with me. Occasionally, I could do a good job, occasionally here and there, or sometimes I don't. Or sometimes, you know, if somebody meets me personally, I have to throw them off to get the energy going so that they don't just keep putting me on a pedestal or think I'm something above human. And if anything, I'm really human. I get right into the humanness of everything. And sometimes I can be really catalytic. And I'll do a little bit of open mic. And, you know, has anyone noticed this growing shift of energy, of the way we interact, and the increasing connection with the sources in the other realm, the energies of it? You can say anything you want.
All callers are unmuted.
We are unmuted. Terry, nobody wants to say anything, right?
Maybe you can repeat your last statement.
Yes, what was your question?
They heard me.
No, but I wasn't sure I understood it.
Okay, forget my last statement. Just, the question, I just said the question, has anyone noticed
the growth in consciousness in our group that they put in words? Yeah.
Sure.
Sure.
Now, anyone want to describe how it looks to them? How it looks to them, that shift?
It's hard to describe.
Wait a second.
We got so many bad
noise. Hang on, I'm going to just mute some of these people. Okay. Ron, I just muted you. Okay. Who noticed the shift?
I noticed it, but it's really hard to describe how it feels.
Turn the heater off in the bedroom.
Can you please turn the heater off in the bedroom?
What in here?
My Cheech and Chong.
Chris, have you shifted? Have you shifted?
Yeah, of course I have. But, you know, sometimes I revert back a little bit. But, you know, I think I've taken, you know, I've gone more forward than I've gone backwards. And especially when I'm on these calls, you know, and I can definitely get back into the energy and the flow. And, you know, I've been doing really good. I've been staying home and doing a lot of meditation stuff. And I've been doing a lot of stuff and staying away from the bar and all that kind of stuff. And I can definitely tell when I'm on the call. You know, I can definitely feel it. And
you're not chasing loose women anymore, are you?
No, they're chasing me.
I got a comment about you're talking about, you know, the
I'm at a Ginsburg Ballroom Queen in Memphis.
Oh, wait a second.
Go ahead, Chris. I thought Chris was done. I had a comment about you're talking about, you know, the establishment wanting to bring drugs in and the hippies and all that stuff. But I mean, drugs can have a really positive spiritual effect on people. It can really break you out of the establishment's ideas that they've controlled you with, you know. So I think drugs can be positive, used in the right way anyway.
Well, you know what? Nothing is all one way or all the other way. And you can take these things out of context. And, I mean, I remember Baba Ram Dass. How many of you know who Baba Ram Dass is? What's your name?
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
He was Timothy Leary's sidekick at Harvard with LSD, and then Richard Alpert went to India and found a guru there, and his guru told him to not do drugs anymore. And he looked at his guru and he said, "Well, if it wasn't for drugs, I wouldn't be here." And he said, "Well, now you're here, so stop using them." So, you know, it's kind of like, the thing is, you guys can look this up, okay? But Aldous Huxley, you know who Aldous Huxley is? Anyone ever hear of him?
Yeah.
He wrote a book called Doors and Perception.
Right.
And it was like, he was very much of an intellectual. He was a brilliant guy. And he was put, you know, there are two ways of trying to evolve humans. Humans are at all different levels, and some of them, if we look at the idea that some of them are indigenous and evolving, some of them are from Maldekians and evolving, some of us have come from higher places to help humans. You know, there is two distinct ways of looking at the evolution of a species. And one of them is from the top down and to work with it with edicts, with laws, with education, with teaching people skills, and doing it from a group of more evolved people that are now helping less evolved people have the tools to grow, okay? Except it always gets corrupt, but that probably is the positive idea in general, okay? And then the other way is working from the bottom up. And then you have people like Jesus who set a new template of love and compassion into the flow. And then the top down tries to take Jesus. The problem with the top down aspect of it is that even though it can work, particularly if there's a high intent and a lot of benevolency, it's too easy to corrupt because the power flows up and all it takes is a couple people controlling everything. And it's no longer having an intent to do that. Now it has an intent to lower the population. So,
when BBS
the idea...
BBS needs to leave us.
Okay. All right. Well, this was a really good talk, and I didn't know I was going to do this. At least I didn't rehearse it. And,
thank you, man.
There's the Beatles, and maybe I'll do an open mic next week, and I just will shut up. I won't show up.
All callers are unmuted.